Now, to show our gratitude, we're not going to be like the other guys and jerk you around and bullshit you. We're going to tell you the truth.
Shane Douglas is the man who ignites the new flame of the sport of professional wrestling. The era of the franchise. The era of the ECW.
To pay, he learned to walk while I was away, and he was talking for I knew it. And as he grew, he'd say, I'm gonna be like you, Dad. You know, I'm gonna be like you.
And the cats in the cradle, and the North South Connection podcast fans, welcome back to the Moose Extreme, menage a trois of violence you'll ever experience. I'm JT here inside the Extreme 308 Dance Podcast Studios, along with my partners on the show, Johnny and Jenny. How you both doing?
Feeling extreme as fuck. How about you?
Fucking extreme, Johnny.
Awesome. I was just invited to a house party.
Woo!
Hopefully not too many people. Call the cops.
Less than 10, in. Yes.
Stay safe, Johnny.
All right, 2 weeks ago, we wrapped up 1995 with Holiday Hell. It was a lot of fun. Catch up on it if you haven't. And if you have, thanks for listening. And tonight, we kick off a brand new year, our third calendar year in ECW history. We started the show in February 1994. We're now into January of 1996, guys. Can you believe it?
I can. I really can.
95
a lot of ECW.
95 is pretty momentous. A lot of epic moments that surprisingly still hold up. So it's been a fun journey.
Well, we'll see if 1996 can keep us on track and moving along. So we're going to do one quick episode of TV before we get into House Party 1996. It's the January 2nd, 96 edition, and it's a quick one. A lot of highlights. We open with highlights from the ECW debut in New York City. The opening moments from Holiday Hell, so get some match highlights. We also see the girls from Goldfingers were in the house. That was missing from the home video tape that we saw on our last episode. We get our opening animation. Get Joey's interview with Stevie and the Blue Meanie. We then get in full Mikey Whipwreck versus Two Gold Scorpio from Holiday Hell. Joey's with us, talks about a woman not being happy about no longer controlling the gold. He wants to share some memories of Public Enemy's time in ECW since House Party's days away. We get a special music video filled with Public Enemy career highlights, promos, and matches. I don't know if you guys watched that. Any thoughts on it at all? I kind of buzzed. I'm not going to lie. I buzzed for that one.
Yeah, I mean, I watched it. I got a little wispy about it, if I'm being honest.
Johnny, did you check out the PE tribute?
Yeah. Not much to add.
Yeah.
Everybody's ready to move on from PE. So
we're all done, I guess.
I'll just cry quietly to myself. It's fine.
The gangsters are in the street. New Jack talks up this Friday night, the arena. Just because promoters suspended them, they weren't gone. They'll crash the party, and they have built up anger. They got suspended with no pay, and now they're like caged dogs who got let loose. In New York, they drop Public Enemy down like dogs and sellouts, and now they can take Friday's ass-whipping and then head off to WCW to get dressed in pink dresses. And they can say the gangsters dropped the bomb and messed them up, and it'll be their farewell gift. Public Enemy's dead, and the gangsters have taken over. And Mustafa, of course, just laughs the whole time. Public Enemy is then in a stairwell. Their farewell at House Party on Friday will be the last dance. They're going out with a bang. If the gangsters thought they saw Public Enemy wrestle tough, they will see what they do now. They love the fans and the people. This is pure violence, not love. It'll be the most extreme wrestling match ever seen at ECW Arena. Grunge thinks Gangsta's paradise, and Rock says they're the toughest motherfuckers in Death Valley. Quite the hype for this last match, guys. I thought these promos were fine, but were you surprised at the level of hype that they put in? Because we've talked about Public Enemy potentially dialing it down to stay safe and not get injured before their transition to WCW. I felt like they're almost hyping this as like a massive bloodbath finale that I'm not sure they're going to be able to deliver on. Do you think it was too much hype for this one?
I mean, I thought they did a reasonable job at making it tough, but also clear that it's going to be their last fight. And I'm not really buying the whole bloodbath, pure violence stuff, if I'm being honest. Not that I'm happy to see him go, but these were fairly weak promos for me, Johnny.
Yeah, it's surprising that they're giving them the spotlight for this last big show, and then they're naming the show, you know, House Party in their honor, and they're gonna lead up to the last match. Building the show around them is surprising, instead of just giving that tribute like midway through the show.
Right. Yeah, I get it as a selling point, trying to get people in the building. As like, I think
one last time. Yeah. It's more like a one last time thing. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think they've meant so much. Like, I get it. They've meant so much to ECW and the ECW arena. Like, we're looking at it in tremendous hindsight. Like, I'm sure in the moment, like, this felt like, you know, okay, this is a big deal. Like, these fans have seen them for 3 years now because they were there in 93. And they've been their guys, and they're leaving. So I get why they felt like they wanted to make it a big deal and honor them on the way out the door. They did business right. You know, they put over the Gangsters on the last show, and they've stuck around and had a bunch of matches when they could have just sat out, probably. You know, I don't think they probably had any kind of signed contracts with ECW, I'm sure. So they could have just bailed, but, you know, they stuck it out, and they've tried to as much maligned as we get, you know, they've been, we'll give them some credit for sticking around and kind of doing the right thing for ECW. All right, so backstage, a bloodied Ravens with Beulah and a neck brace, and Cactus Jack is bragging about his big moment with Mikey, winning the tag belts just like the old days. Raven brings Mikey and the belts before him to kneel at Raven's altar of pain. Raven says Mikey is worthless. He throws the belts down. Cactus says Mikey's great. He has lots of fire, and they need a white meat baby face in Raven's group. Beulah says she can help Mikey become a man. Mikey says he isn't happy being with Jack, and he'll never be with Raven, and he walks out. Jack just keeps saying fire and pizzazz and laughing as Raven berates him for bringing someone to him that's not ready. Raven shoves Jack into a locker, but Jack just keeps smiling and repeating himself, saying fire and pizzazz. Raven calls him stupid, and Jack whispers for him to play along. Raven tells Jack never to fail him again, and they stare down as we fade out. I did enjoy this. What did you guys think of the Cactus Jack stuff here? Just kind of losing his mind.
It does make me super uncomfortable to, like, even have Mikey and Raven, like, in the same room. And, you know, this was, like, really good. Like, I'm so glad that Mikey was like, fuck you, Raven, I'm not doing this. So I really enjoyed this segment.
Yeah, the evolution of Mikey.
Yes.
But before he would be more gullible. But right now, like you said, right away, he's saying, fuck that. He wants nothing to do with Raven.
It's Cactus, but Jesus, just bringing him in there and being like, I found this guy, we need this guy, and it's being a complete asshole about Mikey, and Mikey's like, whatever, I'm not putting up with this bullshit. And I was like, preach.
I like Cactus saying they need a white meat baby face. That was my favorite line.
Funny.
All right, so that closes out that episode. Like I said, pure recap with just a couple of promos. So why don't we dive into our big show here tonight? That is House Party 1996. Joey Styles in the ring, ECW Arena, ready to kick off House Party, but in comes Bill Alfonso blowing his whistle, screaming that he hates Joey Styles. He wants to know why Joey doesn't do more interviews with him and Taz. Joey tells him to beat it, but he keeps ranting, as he always does, calling out signs from fans. Joey flips and tells him to shut up and stop ruining the party, and now they got to start all over again. Fonzie grabs Joey, and they really go at it, yelling until Taz comes out, says he's sick of Joey's shit, and he better not ever disrespect Fonzie again. The crowd is red hot for Sabu as Taz berates Joey, who begs off and tries to rationalize with his old friend. In comes 911. Fonzie starts ranting at him. In comes Todd Gordon. He beats on Fonzie till Taz pulls him off. 911 and Taz stare down again, get pulled apart by Fonzie and Gordon, and eventually the refs in the locker room as well. The crowd is really fired up. Out comes El Porto Ricanio, and Fonzie rips his shirt off, and Taz crushes him with a suplex. Joey protects him and begs Taz not to kill him. Taz drags Joey to the corner, and Joey keeps trying to remind him that they're friends. Taz just screams and threatens him. 911 comes back again and backs off Taz until the Eliminators and Jason show up, and they beat down 911 with Taz. And that ends the opening segment. Taz has become a massive star in this role. Just fantastic. I love this opening with Joey trying to play up their friendship. Taz not giving a shit. but maybe a little bit still gives a shit because he doesn't hurt Joey when he could. Still maybe a slight soft spot there. But I liked all this with Puerto Ricanio getting the shit kicked out of him, and then the Eliminators transitioning to the opener. Johnny, what'd you think of this opening segment?
Yeah, I love the random Todd Gordon still tries to get in there. him and Fonzie for scrapping to two old drunks. That's always fun. And yeah, it's still interesting. Taz is this monster, and he still has that soft spot for Joey, which we'll see if that continues. But he's gotten. He doesn't hesitate to go in on Todd Gordon and his, you know, supposedly the boss or whatever, but it doesn't stop him there.
I love it when a show starts with Joey in the ring, and then, boy, they just escalated this real quick. Joey just losing his shit on Fonzie was amazing. What do you guys think about Joey becoming involved in this little angle with Taz?
I like it because it adds some realism to it, because this is a real relationship that they've had, and they've played it out over time. And Joey was in the booth with him when he revealed himself as Peter Sinercha and all this other stuff, and helped him transition from Tasmaniac to Taz. And he doesn't need to be heavily involved. Like, I don't want to see him in the ring, but him is kind of the social conscious of ECW and of Taz, to me, makes a lot of sense. And I've enjoyed it as him trying to just talk sense to this guy that's just completely lost his mind.
I think Joey's really good at it too. Mm-hmm. Like, he's in there, he's, you know, getting manhandled quite a bit by Taz. He doesn't really hit him, but he grabs onto him pretty good, shakes him around a little bit. And Joey, you know, I was really impressed with him quite a bit in his little spot here. Everybody running in was great. Todd Gordon, I just imagine him just like standing around backstage just waiting to see Fonzie and then just losing his mind and just attacking Fonzie. It's wonderful. Was there an Andrew Sucks chant?
Andrew Sucks?
Yeah. That's what... There was a chant that I couldn't figure out what it was, and then my closed caption said, Andrew Sucks. And I was like, I don't know if that's right or not.
Maybe it was Fonzie. I don't know.
Maybe it was. I don't know. Yeah, but this was great. Like, I was like, shit, let's start this fucking show.
Well, we do with our opening tag matches. Rey Mysterio Jr. teams with 911 to take on the Eliminators. And we're going to get a match right here. Fonzie and Jason hug, and the Eliminators hit total elimination of 911 as Joey's out of breath, trying to regain his composure. The Eliminators take their time choking and picking apart 911 in the corner, peacocking a little bit. Mysterio shows up now, comes off the top, and Cronus catches him and power slams him. Rey dodges two moonsaults in both Eliminators and barrels into both with a slingshot moonsault press. Rey continues to work through both men with an aerial assault, finishes with an awesome top rope moonsault to the floor. Joey says Rey is the first person to ever rescue 911, which I thought was an awesome comment. Mysterio comes back in, but reverses a powerbomb into an arm drag, continues to bewilder Saturn and Cronus, sticking and moving, getting two on a roll-up. Rey reverses a press slam into a head scissors takeover, as the Eliminators are completely rattled. Saturn kicks down Rey and chucks him, and then avalanches 911, who has just gotten to his feet. The Eliminators keep kicking at him, and out comes Taz again. He chokes 911 with his towel as Fonzie cheers him on. Taz and Fonzie quickly take off as Cronus goes back on 911, while Rey uses a cookie sheet on Saturn on the floor. Cronus slams Rey and hits a moonsault press for two. 911 gets back up and suplexes Saturn to a big pop. Cronus mashes Rey with the powerbomb and then nails 911 with total elimination again. This is just wild seeing 911 take this beating. Out comes Taz again, chokes 911 with his towel a second time as Fonzie blows the whistle. 911 really getting beaten down. Eliminators stand tall in the ring. They drag in Rey and Saturn power bombs him again. Rey comes back with a double DDT, tries to rally 911, who's back up and in the ring. Rey goes up top. He gets on 911's shoulders and challenges the Eliminators to a chicken fight, and they oblige, which is amazing, as Cronus hoists up Saturn, and 911 picks up Rey, and he hits a Hurricanrana on Saturn off Cronus' shoulders for the win. Just an amazing move, and that played well because 911 could barely move, but he had just enough strength to let Rey climb his shoulders. And the Eliminators saying, fuck it, let's go. Let's get in the pool, everyone. I thought it was awesome. The Eliminators beat the shit out of Rey and 911 after the bell until the Pitbulls and Francine come in and help clean house. During the fracas, Francine gets drilled to total elimination. She's out cold. Jason shows back up with a chair. The Pitbulls clean him out. Francine gets stretchered out to the locker room as the Pitbulls keep Eliminators out of the way so she stays safe. Just an insane match. It was wild. It was unique. It had a cool flow. It was chaotic. I thought the Eliminators looked awesome. They're madmen. They're lethal. They don't give a shit who they take out. I thought Mysterio was awesome, flying around, taking some absurd offense. And it was cool seeing 911 sell and take a beating. Mm-hmm. Taz was wild as well. This kid popping up and choking him. Just a fun opening segment. A lot of twists and turns, and everyone looked good in the end. Jenny, I went 3 stars, which I did not expect to do when this match hit the ring. I loved it.
A 3-star 911 match. Let's just let that all sink in for a minute. But fuck, he was all right in this match. Mm-hmm. He did a suplex that looked all right. And he's a really good base for Ray. Because Ray is insane. The fucking double DDT on both the limbs by Ray, who is a tiny little man. That was fucking crazy. This was all just like slap in the face match. Like, I wasn't ready for any of that. And the Eliminators are just like so impressive. Like, I kind of in my mind just put them with pit bulls and like that's just going to be their thing. But fuck, they show up during this match too. So damn, I really like this. It was not at all what I was expecting. Definitely so 3 stars for me as well, Johnny.
Yes. 911 selling and the 911 suplex. We always break his balls for all his choke slams, and he showed his versatility. Once again, they make the most out of his limitations. Any move with Ray off his shoulders, I pop for. It's such a great team with the midget and the giant.
That fucking chicken fight, Rana, was amazing.
Yes,
like,
loved it.
Holy shit.
And that is something that could have seemed cheesy or goofy, but it just worked for whatever reason in this world. That the Eliminators are so fucking crazy. They were just like, fuck it, let's go. chicken fight.
They did not hesitate. It was just this is what we're doing. All right, boop.
Great spot. Yeah.
It was a really cool match. Ray's been a lot of fun, obviously, in DCW. And I've loved the Eliminators. Like, I didn't know if I would take a while to warm up to them or anything, but they have been great since they arrived and really freshened up both the tag and just kind of overall card. All right, talking about freshening up the card, we have a very big debut here to kick off 1996 as Rob Van Dam has popped up and arrives on the scene in ECW to take on Axel Rotten. Joey talks up RVD's experience, including his brief WCW run. Axel back here, been a minute since we've seen him, not since Heatwave. Have we seen Axel? He fucks around a bit and mocks RVD's martial arts stance and strikes. After some stalling, Axel hammers away, but Van Dam shows off his flexibility with a split under a charge and a quick arm drag. He lands some martial arts strikes and works the midsection as he grabs 2 out of shots to the gut. Axel shoves RVD to the corner, punches him in the head, but Van Dam backflips over a dropdown. Axel ducks a kick, hits a fireman's carry suplex. Axel's fired up here, definitely trying to prove himself as he's come back. Axel punches and headbutts away as the crowd chants for him to break RVD's neck. Axel wrecks him with a clothesline, slams, but whiffs on an elbow off the top. RVD kicks his way back into things, leg sweeps him down, goes up top, and it's a great splash, but gets only 2. Axel bails out. RVD meets him with a somersault senton, shoves Axel back inside, meets him with a kick off the top. Axel comes firing back, but misses an avalanche in the corner. RVD power slams Axel, hits a split-legged moonsault, and picks up the win. Nice debut for him. The crowd wasn't really into him, but they did pop for some of the moves. He clearly has strong potential, a unique look and moveset. Axel being dismissive and not knowing what hit him, I thought was a good approach. He kind of just chalked this up to being a nobody with RVD, but he ends up being shell-shocked a bit. And we'll see if RVD moves up the ladder after this match. John, they went 2.5. That was a good debut for Van Dam.
Yeah. The martial arts moves, they're definitely unique at this time. And Rob playing off the Jean-Claude, who was very popular in the 90s. And I like when Axel was at the beginning, when he was mocking the RVD, the martial arts moves. And Joey says, yeah, of course, yeah, Joey gets a shot in and says RVD had to leave WCW because he wanted stiffer competition. And Joey never passes on a WCW shot. And yeah, the split leg moonsault, very impressive.
You know what? Fuck it. I gave this match 3 stars. I really liked it. I like me some Axel Rotten, so I thought he looked pretty good in this. I like the mocking that he did at the beginning of the match as well. But RVD, you know, fun debut from him. He's quite acrobatic. you know, focused and stiff and, you know, bumping around. I thought he did really great. That split leg moonsault was fucking snappy as shit. I like this. It's a 3-star match for me.
Yeah, the simple theme of the match, that basically RVD's speed overwhelmed the larger mm-hmm. opponent. Mm-hmm.
And again, that he took him for granted because he didn't know what he was about. So it'll be interesting mm-hmm. If he wins the crowd over or not, RVD, because they definitely didn't seem to care too much early on here for him. So. Jenny's Boo heads to the ring for our next match to take on Too Cold Scorpio. And we see a great sign on the crowd that says, "No Gold Scorpio," which I thought was cool. Scorp is out with woman dancing, no belts, after his tough night at Holiday Hell. Gets a rematch with Mikey. Good cocky entrance. Scorp has created a nice little aura for himself. I think he's come a long way since his early days as a face. Mikey heads out with the TV title on his waist, develops some swag as 95 closes out. During the intro, Scorpio slaps Mikey. Mikey slaps him back. Scorpio grabs the mic and says Cactus Jack won't save his ass tonight, and he won't be walking out of the arena with his gold. He hands Mikey the mic and says he will just give Scorp the belt and smashes him in the head with it twice. But on the third try, Scorp kicks it into his face. Scorp then pancakes Mikey and kicks him in the side of the head and then nails him with a knee lift and talks some shit. Scorpio rams him to the corner and slugs him down. Mikey comes back with an enziguri. Mikey heads up top, comes off with a high cross body, follows with a pair of drop kicks. Scorpio bails outside where Mikey meets him with a plancha. Mikey shoots Scorp into the railing, but Scorpio catches him with a hard kick. Mikey floats out of a suplex, gets a bridging German for two, and gets one after a leg drop. Scorpio goes to the eyes, buries a tight knee drop, and follows with a powerbomb. Mikey blocks it into a Franken Mikey. Mikey follows with missile drop kicks for two. The crowd chants JYD at Scorpio, which is rough, as he kicks Mikey to the floor. See, this is why this crowd is better than New York. Mashes him with a chair. Back inside, Scorpio hits a big powerbomb, sets up a chair, and bulldogs Mikey onto it. Scorpio power slams and again fucks around with the pin covers. You fucking idiot, Scorpio. You think you'd learn? Scorpio sets up the chair again, but this time Mikey reverses and drives Scorpio's face into it. Mikey smashes Scorpio with a chair, hits some nasty shots, and hooks a bow and arrow submission. Scorpio busts free, hits a tombstone power slam as woman screams him on. Scorpio heads up top and hits a moonsault, but picks up Mikey at two. This fucking guy, what are we doing? Joey's all over him, repeating his mistakes over and over. Scorpio puts Mikey on top, and it's a great superplex. This time he gets up at one and laughs, and it's making me hate him. Scorpio slams Mikey and heads up top and hits a splash, again picks him up at two, which is just making him look so stupid. Scorpio puts Mikey on the top again, but Mikey slugs him down, hits a swinging DDT for two. Mikey hits the top rope. Frankie Mikey kicks Scorpio to the floor, fakes a baseball slide, and then dives over the top rope, over the rail, and into Scorpio in the crowd. It's a tremendous shot. Joey calls Mean Gene a cheap huckster as he talks about the value of an ECW ticket. Back inside, Scorpio crushes Mikey with a thrust kick, hits a back superplex, but the ref gets bumped on the way down. I will say this, ECW does do creative ref bumps. They do mix them up nicely. In comes Raven, who gets in Scorp's face, but Mikey stops him, and Raven just DDTs Mikey and leaves. Joey says Raven has nothing to do with Mikey in his nest. Woman barks at Scorp, who takes his time, hits a powerbomb, heads up top, drops the bomb, and covers for the win. This is really good. It had some wild spots, hard strikes, and bombs, but I'm so tired of Scorpio picking guys up. It makes Mikey look shitty, too. Like, he basically beat him 15 times in this match. They need to get away from it. The end picked up a lot with Mikey's awesome dive and the Raven stuff. And it's a good choice, I think, to get the belt back on Scorp. I like him as the arrogant champ. And Mikey honestly doesn't need a title at this point. He's over. So I went 3 stars, Jenny. I like the match a lot. A step behind Holiday Hell. But I do like, I did like the finish, and I'm glad the Scorpio's back with the belt. I know it hurts you, but I like it.
No, I'm okay. Just because of all the fuckery with the belt, you know, to begin with, that didn't feel right to me. You know, it's like, I liked it, but meh. So with this one, I thought that Mikey came out with a lot of attitude, but so did Scorpio. Like, he's like well, first of all, he looks like he's busting out of his tights. Why are they all ripped up? Like, he don't look chubby enough, boy, you know, whatever. Anyway, so I like with his heel stuff, it tends to be like, just like mouthy and like cocky and whatever. Like he was sort of like real mean and nasty during the first part of this match. And then he starts doing the stupid not covering or picking up at one, like doing the cocky stuff when the brutal stuff works for him better for me, like during the beginning part of the match when he was really going to town on Mikey. So,
and if he just did the cocky stuff without the cover pickup
covers, yeah.
If he just like beat him down and then took his time and laughed and enjoyed it, it's the picking him up in the covers that is just getting old because he just does it so much and it's burnt him so much. It's like he's not learning at all. Like it just makes him look dumb.
It really does. And I kind of like it better when he's being mean anyway. So just stick with that. I'm fine with him winning the belts back. Woman screaming her ass off on the sidelines was great. During this match, she was losing her shit. I gave it 3.25 stars, Johnny.
Yeah, we ranted on it on the Holiday Hell, and in this match, Scorpio does it twice as much. It's kind of a disservice to Mikey, as an opponent, should have moved on to the next level, and he shouldn't really be subjected to that. But it is what it is, and the JYD chants. There was also Virgil chants and SD Jones chants. quite consistent. Yeah, they're quite consistent with the theme of the chants.
JYD one made me laugh because I was picturing like because Scorpio's fat and stuck in his heart. The other one still felt a little more off brand, but the JYD one I really liked because he. Just end to life JYD was not I should say life, I guess end career JYD was looking like Scorp is now just squeezed into those tights with that ass.
And the Mikey dive over the guardrail that was a highlight.
Yeah, I mean, even as thick as he is right now, Scorpio's still moving and flying and getting the hang time. He's awesome. I mean, he's I feel like we talk about him a lot, but we don't give him some of the credit he deserves for being like a steady force.
Yeah, we kind of take the moves for granted, the 450s and the moonsaults.
Well, he gets fucks up a lot, though, still, you know? He still has trouble hitting some of those. He's good on the height and stuff, but I feel like his finishes are hit, or, you know, his landings are hit and miss.
But he also, and he mixed in, like, that tombstone power slam thing.
Yeah, that was good.
He mixed it in, yeah.
Yeah, I think he looks great. Still, and he's been a big part of the show, and deserves the credit for being such a steadying force as we've gone along. All right, next match sees Taz come back out after his hot open to take on the Shah, Hack Myers. Hack stalks out, throws a chair for some reason. Joey says the fans love him. Taz talks out with Fonzie, who's in an Emmett Smith jersey. Joey talks about the scary scene earlier between him and Taz. Taz's entrance is great with the towel. And focused on the hype man and whistle. Johnny, what was have the Eagles just been like knocked out by the Cowboys or something? Do you remember at this point? Because it felt like a very targeted attack to have the Emmett jersey on.
Nah, but this is it was just because this was the prime Dallas years.
Yeah,
they just won their third one. I think I lose track. Yeah, I just pretty much because they just lost. They won their third one. And also there was I don't know if it was it might have been Criscolo. There was a guy in the crowd that had the same jersey. even though it was Philly. Yeah.
So this would have been what, early '96. So this was this Cowboys Steelers.
Yeah, they won the third one. The Steelers. I think it was '95. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Let's see if the Eagles were even in. The Eagles were.
Nah.
They were 10-6.
Oh, okay.
So they finished second.
I don't think they lost
to the Cowboys.
Oh, they did lose to them.
In the playoffs.
Okay.
They killed the Lions, and I think that was the Lions' last playoff appearance for a long time. It was 58-37.
Yeah, for a long time, yeah.
And then they lost to Dallas 30-11, and that was on January 7th. And the show was when? Do you remember the date? Was it like the 7th? It might have been.
5th, I think.
No, this is before, yeah.
So, okay, so they're just about to play, so.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so good heat. All right, so he's got the jersey on the precipice of the big playoff game. Joey talks about that earlier scene. I love Taz's entrance again with the foul and the hype man. The crowd chants, fuck you, Taz, as we get going. Hack works the arm. The control is brief, though, as Taz uses a judo takedown to break free. Joey says Taz has often similar to what you would see on an Ultimate Fighting pay-per-view and talks up his judo and shoot fighting background. Taz keeps grinding Hack, showing off his amateur skill. Hack comes back with a couple of shot punches, but Taz reverses one into a takedown. Joey's great here. He's calling all the judo throws and amateur holds by name. Hack catches Taz when he drops his head and slugs away. Joey says Taz threatened to break Joey's neck if he didn't learn the proper name of the judo holds. And that's why Joey's great, because he explains why he's so much faster than him. Taz is the T-bone as Joey continues to lament Taz's changes, calls Fonzie a buffoon and a jerk. Shaw chugs his way back in, but Taz blocks a charge into a head and arm Tazplex, follows with a German, and finishes with a Taz mission, the Kata Hajime. Taz grabs the mic as Fonzie punches Hack and then celebrates. Joey's pissed. Taz says Sabu is hiding and says this is the beginning of the beatings and the impact Fonzie will have on his miserable career. He tells everyone to fuck off. Just great heat. Basically a squash, but they're doing awesome, making Taz a monster and a machine that just wrecks dudes. Awesome presentation, star level package with Fonzie, just a top act. 2 stars, John. Again, just a quality Taz beatdown.
Yes, 2.5. This is like a next level squash than like Puerto Ricanio. Hack is really legit. It really makes Taz look good when he could get a submission out of somebody like Hack, a larger opponent. And Hack hung in there with the shots, but eventually he was just overwhelmed with those suplexes. And then Fonzie's got to add to it with his nonsense, attacking Hack. And when Taz gets the mic, you could count to 3 and an F-bomb will be coming. You can set your watch to it.
Hey, this is the low-key Jenny Dream match right here with heel Taz and everybody's favorite.
Shaw.
Yeah. So I like, I'm always down for a Hack match. I just enjoy him. And, bless his heart, he was doing everything he could, but Taz is just murdering him. You can't get away from those Taz places. And fucking Fonzie just losing his mind on the sidelines. This is a perfect opponent, I think, for Taz right now. Just to keep getting more and more hated by beating down on poor Hack, who everybody loves. But I really like this stiff fight. I gave it 2 stars.
All right, let's move on. Keep chugging through the card to our next match as Bubba Ray Dudley takes on Jimmy Del Rey, the Gigolo. Still hanging around. Bubba's joined by Sign Guy, Big Dick, Chubby, and DW here tonight for this grudge match. What a group. The crowd really into them. Del Rey has Mr. Hughes back out of nowhere. Back out of nowhere. What a random pairing. Jimmy Del Rey and Mr. Hughes. Sure.
Yeah.
We haven't seen him in a while, right? It's like late 94.
Yeah.
Sign Guy has a massive sheet size sign tonight, just gigantic. Joey says they don't confiscate signs here at ECW. Bubba introduces himself, but Jimmy Del Rey drop kicks him from behind during it. Bubba comes firing back as Joey says Jimmy Del Rey's partner has zipped off to the WWF for a very sunny future. Bubba breaks out a standing drop kick and mimics the Gigolo's dancing, just super over with these fans. Del Rey slugs back into things, but Bubba splashes him in the corner for 2. Bubba argues with the ref, but Del Rey kicks him in the nuts and then slams him and follows with a swinging DDT. Bubba comes back and loads up the bomb, but Hughes gets on the apron to distract him. Dick hops up and gets into it with Hughes, while Bubba DDTs Del Rey for the win. After the match, the Dudleys clean house, and that's that. Random match, pretty basic, and not much to get excited over. Del Rey he's literally like the most whatever guy on this roster right now. You can take or leave him. Hughes' return is very random, and the Dudleys are super over. Let's just talk about the match, because we have a big moment coming up in a second that we'll get to. I went 1 star for the match, John.
Yeah, 1.5. The highlight was Bubba arguing with the ref, saying that it was 1, 2, as cheap as you could get, which is right up my alley.
1.5? You're an insane person. I gave it 0.5 star. What a gaggle of morons. It was an okay thing, but it just simply is not doing much for me. It was, I could just definitely take this off the card and be totally fine, especially with what happens next.
Yeah, and stuff does happen next. It's after the bell, Del Rey and Hughes come back to the ring, and everyone stares down. And Hughes says he wants to bring out someone to teach Bubba proper English, and he's got a big surprise. And when you piece things together, it comes very clear why Mr. Hughes is back, because his buddy Shane Douglas is with him as he returns
to the
ECW arena. The Lord. Dean here to teach us. The crowd pops as Shane comes out. He's all smiles, back where he belongs with his Canadian tuxedo. Joey says he could ditch the powder blue. We've seen enough. Of course, a comment about his Dean Douglas gear. Douglas mocks Bubba's stuttering, says he's been in purgatory for 6 months. There's a lot of things that need to be fixed. He's the greatest wrestler in the world. He's also the world's greatest English teacher. And he's going to teach Bubba how to talk. Shane slaps him and says the fixing starts tonight because the franchise is back. The crowd seemed pretty hyped to see him. It's a big moment. Be interesting to see how he fits back in because it's kind of a different ECW than when he left.
Mm-hmm.
It's the hardcore stuff has ramped up more. There's a lot of big time players. He's not just someone that could probably ease right back into being world champion at this point. So it'll be interesting to see how things play out, how he fits in to this world after his hellscape of a run as Dean Douglas. This was predicted that it was not going to go well. And it didn't. He crossed the click, and that was it. Got buried and never recovered. And he's back pretty quick. I mean, he left in, like, I think it was May or June. And now he's back here already in January. So a very quick disappearance and return. And it's kind of cool, though, that Hughes is back with him. I did like that tie-in that he's still his bodyguard for life, I guess, with him. Jenny, what did you think of the return of your bane of your existence, Shane Douglas?
Well, I was not prepared because I thought we would have a little bit more of a break. Mm-hmm. You guys have alluded that he would be back. Kind of didn't know it would be as soon
he's
as
back. He's back for a while.
So I guess. So I'm going to give him a clean slate. Okay.
Yep.
So I think that, like you said, ECW is way different than when he started it and when he left it. So I think there's room for him here if he can find some gimmick, something, because he's a tremendous talker, but I just need something that I can get on board with when he speaks. You know what I'm saying? Just give me a good story or something with him. I don't even know what I want or what it could even be, but I'm open to being okay with Shane in this. Johnny, does that surprise you?
Yeah, that's good. It's good that you're open about it, but I mean, they boosted him up. I don't like how the Dudleys just like crawled away like bitches. Which after, you know, after all this time building them up, he kind of made them look like nothing. And first, you know, first impressions of something, him with those, whatever, the stonewashed 90s mom jeans or whatever the hell, and the shirt tucked in isn't exactly, he didn't exactly come in looking like a star. He could take some advice from the one he always shits on, Dick Flair, and make a good first appearance. Yeah, that look was kind of lame.
Agree.
Canadian tuxedo, that's the Dean's look. I guess it's better than the robe. All right, so we'll see where that goes. Joey gets in the ring. He brings out Stevie Richards, of course, because he has to. Stevie has Beulah and Blue Meanie with him. Joey reminds us that Stevie played tonsil hockey with Missy Hyatt back in New York City. Stevie says he's no longer Dancing Stevie. Instead, he is now Studly Stevie Richards, the King of Swing. As everyone saw on worldwide TV, the sexy Missy Hyatt is hot for his trot, he's warm for his form, and she is the original true babe magnet. He's the only American male built better than Bagwell and better looking than Riggs. Joey wants to know why we're wasting time, and Stevie says everyone's wondering where Raven is. We came off the holidays, which started in mid-December for Raven, who went to a concert and likes to party, goes over the edge. He started December 10th and couldn't stop. Right about now, he's coming off a four-week buzz. During that time, Beulah baby has been neglected by Raven, so him being the obvious stud, figure he could give Beulah some late Christmas cheer. And right here, Studly Stevie's gonna get a kiss from Beulah McGillicuddy. Beulah says no, she doesn't want to be touched. Stevie begs a bit, and Beulah shuts him down again. Stevie says she's making him look bad. Missy may be watching, but she's adamant she wants nothing to do with him. Stevie tries again and shoves, but she shoves Stevie away. Stevie berates her until she reveals, "I'm pregnant." And the crowd ate that up. What a great moment. Stevie says he's going to be an uncle. Out comes Raven, and he berates her. He calls her an idiot. Says the pills say one day at a time. Eula says it's not Raven's baby. And Raven just snaps and immediately starts beating the shit out of Stevie, assuming it's his. Doesn't even give him a second. Just fucking smashes him in the face. Beulah says it's not Stevie's either. Raven stalks her, and she admits the baby is Tommy's. What? Raven starts choking her, and Tommy makes a save, dropping Raven with a DDT, cleaning house, destroying Raven with a bunch of weapons, including a pie. Tommy and Beulah embrace and head out together. This is a wild moment reveal. That's an all-time ECW moment. And there looks to be the end of Beulah and Raven, which is kind of a sad end of an era because I really like them together. Her is kind of the hot chick in his crew. Raven is like piecing it all together as it happened. It was really well done. Out of nowhere, just a nice evolution, yes, though, because they didn't drag it out. We didn't get weeks of whose baby. Mm-hmm. Like, it just all played out in front of us. And we kind of needed this shift because this feud is now a year old and we needed the next iteration of it. And we get it here. So we'll see where things go. Jenny, did you see this coming at all? Did you know this was coming? Because, I mean, it's like I knew it was coming at some point because it's a famous ECW moment. But did you know that we were headed this way at all?
No. And, you know, I've been looking for the next evolution of the story. I kind of complained about it a little bit. I thought they were going to do it with, like, Stevie because Stevie is, like, way front and center, like, way more than he should be, in my opinion. Right. So I was like, maybe this is how they're shifting, and then Raven's going to shift to Sandman. But so this was like, what? I went like full like soap opera. Like she goes, I'm pregnant. I went, oh my God. And then Raven goes, you're what? Which popped me super hard. I thought that was hilarious on the delivery. And then the beatdown on Stevie was fucking hilarious. And then I'm sitting there, and she goes, it's not his baby either. And I said, it's not Tommy's. And she goes, it's Tommy's. I was like, oh, my God. So I just totally bit on all that. It was I'd never heard of this. I didn't know it was coming. So total blindside. It was awesome.
Yeah, Stevie was tremendous. Studly Stevie. I love when he calls Joey JoJo.
Yes.
Yeah. He played his role terrifically, and just perfect. Out of nowhere. Usually, as you said, Justin, they'll drag it out for everywhere and telegraph the big surprise, and here they just laid it out, and it was quite a shock, and it worked. And then the coup de grace was Tommy grabbing the blueberry pie, taking a bite out of it.
Oh my God!
Pile driving Raven right onto it.
And why?
And then him and Beulah hug it out. And,
why does the DDT on a pie just delight me so much?
It's food, violence, it's sex, hilarious. It's everything. It's everything in life that we like, all in one shot there.
Amazing.
Pregnant chicks, blueberry pies, violence, you know. Stevie putting his, swinging his schwanz around.
Well, I mean, like, okay, I want to ask questions about this, but I also don't want to get spoiled on it, so I'll just wait.
Wait and see. And Stevie has been awesome. He's really feeling himself. I love his, this has been a thing for a while, but he's really leaning in now. These long preambles that piss Joey off to get to the point. Yes. Like shit that nobody cares about that he's going on and on about. His fucking nickname and everything else. but he's got such confidence in his role now. But he still plays the lackey role well, too. Like he's confident to a point. But when Raven's around, he like steps back a little bit. So yep. He's clearly the number two. And now he's got Meanie to push around. So the whole thing is just really, really good. He's amazing. When you think of where he was a year ago, right, when he was doing the gimmick, dressing up as all the Johnny Polo and Scotty Flamingo to bring Raven in, and think of the year he's had. Of all the great ECW guys that have grown, he may be the one that's really grown the most and come the furthest in that time. Because he was, you know, he was like a Donnie Allen level guy in 95, in 94.
Yeah.
And this has blown up into this role and taken full advantage of what's been handed to him.
One of the stars of the show. I'm hot for his trot right now.
Yeah. It's so good. So good. And yeah, so this is all great. So we'll see where it all plays out. Tommy Dreamer now with Beulah pregnant, and Raven scorned yet again. His summer camp girl and his best friend have now reunited and left him alone again. Bum, 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 bum. our ECW World Heavyweight Champion, comes out with Woman, a steadying presence in a suddenly shifting company, taking on Conan. Random match here. Joey shits on Atlanta, says they should stick to the Olympic sports. They're not ready for extreme. Conan has a great-looking robe on, so there's that for him. Joey says Sandman has dropped 25 pounds since winning the title. And he looks good, I'll say
he
that.
He does.
Conan's fucking shredded. We get a stare down. It's clear the fans are behind Sandman tonight. Conan starts by working the legs, twists Sandman on the mat, then mix in the standing figure four into a front face lock. Sandman reverses out, and Joey says that had to be accidental. We reset, and now Conan grabs the arm, takes Sandman into another twisted hold, stretching the shit out of him. Fun way to start with Sandman completely out of his element. He does okay hanging on the mat, eventually tumbles to the floor. Sandman comes back and lands a hard elbow, but Conan kicks him in the face. He keeps kicking and kneeing before hitting a hip toss after a trio of leapfrogs. Conan gets a sloppy jackknife roll-up. Sandman pops up and cuts him down with a clothesline as Joey wonders if the champ is using a rope-a-dope. Conan bails out, and Sandman slams into him with a plancha. Conan recovers and smashes Sandman with a chair, but Sandman elbows him down. Sandman shoots him over the railing into the crowd, then hangs him over the rail before knocking him back outside. Sandman's really starting to feel himself now as we head back in. Sandman punches and kicks away, bites Conan's head, ripping open a cut and targeting it with more punches. Joey says that cut was from a match in California last week and now it's open and pouring blood. Outside, Sandman suplexes him on a table and slugs away. Conan's blood is just smeared all over Sandman's white shirt and pants. It's nasty. Back inside, Sandman sets up a table inside the ring and sets Conan on it, but Conan blocks and sends Sandman flying through the table instead. Woman hops up and swings the cane and slaps Conan. That allows Sandman to cane Conan from behind with a very hard shot. Sandman keeps laying in shots as the crowd is cheering him on. Just a fun atmosphere for this one. Rabid for Conan's blood. Rey Mysterio pops up and hands Conan a cane. He batters the champ with the cane, and then they stand there and take turns pounding each other over and over. Just a bloody mess, and both eventually collapse in a heap. Woman screams at Sandman as they're both slow to get up. Woman pulls Sandman up by his hair, and he barely beats the 10 count to win the match and retain his title. Sandman collapses down, but retains yet again. Always finds a way to hang on with a little help from Woman. This was an unexpected bucket of fun for me. A very different match I did not expect at all. All the mat stuff early quickly pivoted to just a completely bloody war. The Kane stuff was vicious and well done. Conan's bleeding was nasty, insane. Staining everything. Just a great battle. The crowd was awesome too. They added a lot to this. Just very hungry for Conan, getting his blood all over the spilled everywhere by Sandman. Jenny went 3.25. I like this much more than I expected to. I'm not a big Conan guy, but this surprised me.
Why are you not a big Conan guy?
Most of his WCW shit sucks. I'm just not into it, so, especially some of the stuff Chad and I have watched. And I've just never been a huge fan of him. Like, he's fine. I don't hate him or anything, but he's never been someone that's like super impressed me in the ring in any way. But I was not looking forward to this match. I thought it would be kind of boring, but I ended up really, really liking it.
I liked it a lot too, surprisingly. Not really. Lots of blood. I love the biting spot. That was great. Like early in the match, Sandman kind of like slides out of the ring onto the like the table and it just falls. And he like barely even sat on it. So that was unexpected, maybe. Not really supposed to happen. I don't know. But, you know, Conan's cut as shit. Like, he looks like really good. So I didn't mind this. This was a really fun, bloody battle that I thought Sandman, you know, showed up and showed out and showed why he's the champ. Woman was great in this. Once again, the true brains of this outfit, Woman. 3 stars, Johnny.
Yeah, me too. Just Woman's screams throughout the match and her holding up Sandman for the 10 count, and as she's dragging him back, she's still screaming, just very intense. And Sandman with the white t-shirt and the pajamas accentuating all the blood was a good touch too.
Mm-hmm.
And they got the best. You know, Conan's kind of limited and not too smooth. That's kind of why you know, a lot of people aren't a fan of him. He's kind of a mechanical and kind of choreographed, but they made it work here.
So Sandman retains. I kind of like the random challenger too. I feel like he doesn't get too much of that. Like Shane used to do that a lot. And it makes him look stronger to be able to beat guys like this coming in. Yeah. And he's grown a lot too. We keep talking about the guys that have grown throughout 95. He did too. Because in the beginning, it was like he was really lucky to be champion, right? And he kept like falling on guys for wins and stuff. But he's upped his game. And yeah, he still wins sometimes by bullshit. But he's hung with a lot of strong competitors. And, you know, have the title for the majority of these last, what, 7 months, 8 months or so. He won it in May, I think, had the little blip with Mikey, but pretty much been dominant champ for 7 months now. And he's beaten a lot of different competitors and contenders and hung in. So he's earned the rep as kind of the guy here in ECW. That can only mean one thing. Our buddy Sabu hitting the ring to take on the guy having a very big night, an awkward night in some ways, Stevie Richards. Stevie and Meanie dance out as Joey shits on both of them. Sabu hits the ring and the crowd's buzzing. Joey says Stevie's in for a long night, and that's true. Stevie's very nervous to get started. He bails out, but Sabu hits a wild springboard dive over the top into Meanie and Stevie and then flies into the crowd. Back in the ring, Sabu grinds with a chin lock, follows with a spin kick and a leg drop for two. Sabu goes back to the chin lock, but eats a boot on a charge, and Stevie clubs the back. Stevie powerbombs Sabu, but only gets two. Stevie mocks Sabu's point to the air and then eats a right hand. And then Sabu follows a slingshot, somersault, leg drop for a near fall. Sabu twerks across a cross arm breaker for a moment. Stevie breaks free and goes up top, but Sabu punches him and then springboards into a forearm that knocks Stevie to the floor. Stevie gets on the apron, but Sabu hits a sunset flip powerbomb to the floor, which is just insane looking. Sabu whips Stevie to the railing, sets up a table, but Meanie comes over and punches at him. Stevie works the back of the ring and tells the fans to shut the fuck up. Sabu takes it right back over and puts Stevie on the table, but he dodges the dive, and Sabu flies over the top and through the table. Meanie super kicks Sabu in the gut and celebrates. Stevie hits another powerbomb back inside and heads up top. It's a big fist drop. Sabu comes back with a Frankensteiner for two and then hangs Stevie across the top and decks him in the face. Stevie's left hanging across the middle rope, and Sabu smashes him with a springboard somersault guillotine for two. Meanie checks on Stevie outside, but Sabu breaks that up with a leaping Frankensteiner on the floor to Meanie and then dives into Stevie as they tumble into the first row. Meanie misses a charge on the floor and slams into the railing. Sabu pounds on Stevie, puts him on another table. Meanie comes over, but Sabu mashes him with a chair shot. Overcomes Paulie dangerously. He beats on Meanie. Sabu gets in the ring and hits a slingshot leg drop through the table to a big pop. Sabu covers in the ring, but Stevie gets his foot on the ropes. Sabu goes to pick him up, but Stevie gets an inside cradle for two. Sabu shoots Stevie hard to the corner, crushes him to the clothesline for two. Sabu whips him into the corner, but Stevie bounces out and crushes Sabu with a super kick. And that was a great spot. Paul tries to rally Sabu. Sabu ends up on Stevie's shoulders and takes him down with a DDT. Paulie slides a chair into Sabu and hits an atomic Arabian facebuster to pick up the win. Again, a surprisingly damn good match. A nice elevation point for Stevie, who looked like a badass in this one, took a ton of offense and hung in. And the finish was good, too. Maybe a little long, but I thought it helped Stevie to survive a long match like this and hang in there with Sabu, who's just amazing to watch. Like a shooting star flying around the ring at this pace. A fun car wreck match. It had a semblance of a story. And again, I like this slow climb and reintroduction for Sabu. We have so many big players at the top, and now Shane Douglas is back too. So Sabu's is working his way quietly up the card, putting on good matches, and helping other guys look strong and elevate as well. So Johnny, I went 3 stars. I thought Stevie really showed up well and hung in there with Sabu, who was great as well.
This is great. 3.5. Stevie really shined. He hung tough, and he showed more than ever. And even by the end of the match, he started gaining Joey's respect a little bit on commentary, which is surprising. And Paul Lee even had to come out to check on Sabu to show how serious it was. And yeah, Joey got a good shot in calling Meanie a Dusty Rhodes dietitian, which was a highlight on commentary. And a sick finish. And finally, you saw that Stevie gave it all he had, and Meanie had to carry him to the back.
So what is wrong with me in that I can't get as on board with Stevie as you guys can? Because I love Sabu. I love his yellow pants in this too. I just don't see why he's having to work a match with fucking Stevie. I just don't. And I mean, I wasn't that impressed with him. I didn't think he was that good at all. I mean, he has a great super kick, and we've seen that a bunch. But, I mean, not super impressive for me as far as Stevie goes. You know, Meanie was, like, buzzing around and, like, kept fucking with Sabu. And I'm just like, he shouldn't get a kick on Sabu. That's ridiculous. So, anyway, that just made me mad. And it went on too long, so I just gave it 2¾ stars.
Yeah, I don't know. I disagree. I thought it just made him look strong that he hung in and took that beating. I think he has come a long way in the ring. You'd expect Sabu probably to squash him, but I thought he looked good and he held his own. It didn't feel like Sabu was carrying him to me.
Yeah, and even a couple times, you know, he played against his role as the coolest putz. Like, he outsmarted Sabu a couple times, ducking the dive and causing Sabu to land on the table. So he didn't wrestle as just like a, you know, as just a comedy. It was more serious. So he gained a little respect.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Philly's own Boys to Men Serenade. The departing heroes, Public Enemy. Time has come for their final match in ECW against the Gangstas. The original ECW stalwarts have been dominant figures in the company through its evolution and growth. Emotions will be hot and a good choice of final opponents here. It's kind of been a big feud for them. Joey straight up announces that Public Enemy is headed to WCW as they head to the ring. So no longer a secret or hinted at. Mm-hmm. It's straight out here. They are headed to WCW. And we said this was, what, January 5th? And I believe they debut on the 115 Nitro. I think. I know Chad and I covered it on Wrestling Warzone. I'll confirm. It was either 18 or 115. But it's a real quick turnaround for them. It is not a long wait in between when they finish up here and when they arrive. Just let me pull it up real quick. They are on the 115 Nitro. They fight the public American males. So that is just 10 days after their final match here, they debut on Nitro. So they really pushed it as far as they could to, you know, help fulfill any dates for ECW that they had going on. So kudos to them.
When they did debut, did they say anything about ECW?
I nah.
Don't remember. They might have said, you know, kind of in the Bischoff way, like, they've been hot in the Northeast scene or something like that.
Okay.
I don't remember if they actually named ECW. But they did have, I mean, WCW and ECW had a bit of a working relationship, obviously, mm-hmm. before this. But I think that was more like 94 when we had Arn and Sullivan and Eaton mm-hmm. and all those guys coming in. I think by now that's kind of faded, especially with Cactus doing his whole anti, you know, the whole pro-WCW right. stuff.
No cheap shots about wrestling in bingo holes.
Or... yeah, there might have been in there. That was a while ago on the War Zones. I don't remember exactly, but they debut in those beautiful white outfits pretty quickly, 10 days after this. So Johnny Grunge grabs the mic. He says to hold on one motherfucking minute. He asks that the crowd is ready for the fucking best. There's tons of F-bombs from Johnny. Mm-hmm. Says this arena is the house the motherfucking PE built. The crowd chants, you'll be back. And Joey says that's his back too. That was kind of a shit comment, like, of Joey. Yeah. Like, yeah, you know, basically, everyone fails. You all come back. And you know what? He's wrong, because they stay in WCW until, I think it's 99. And then they go to WDF for the hot minute before coming back. I mean, so they don't come back that quick. They're gone for a good 3 years. So
they didn't exactly thrive, though. It was like they...
In WCW?
Yeah.
Oh, they're always kind of in the top end of the tag division.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm thinking more, WWF is a disaster.
Oh, yeah, that's a disaster. But yeah. WCW, they have a good, I mean, that's a good 3 year run. They're on.
I got to revisit. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so far, 96, they've been presented pretty well. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Rock says they'll never fucking take the ECW out of them. The Gangsters march out. Joey says Public Enemy has not hated any opponents more than the Gangsters. They came back with a vengeance. Public Enemy thought they had run them out of here. Jack says he wasn't going to be gone long, and now
Jack?
The Public Enemy. Jack.
Sorry.
No. Okay. Okay, I got you. Jack Scratch says he wasn't going to be gone long. And now the Public Enemy's taking the easy way out to WCW. He says they were pussy-ass bitches. He says, when you see those pussy-ass bitches, Harlem Heat, tell them that New Jack invented this. He called Santa Claus the other night and asked what he thought about Sensational Sherry, and he said, ho, ho, ho. So he says, you won't touch that with a 10-foot pole, especially not his own. So just all kinds of shots fired here.
Disrespectful.
I guess Harlem Heat, New Jack is not a fan of Harlem Heat, I guess. Things light up right away with punches, kicks, and weapons. Jack has a noose immediately. Grunge is bleeding within seconds. We get Pie in the mix as the ring is a giant mess. All sorts of brawling and fighting. Mustafa has a nice delayed press slam on Rock, which is impressive. Grunge uses an iron on Jack as Rock slices at Mustafa's head. Jack is bleeding now too as he's working over Rock, and Grunge chucks Mustafa to the floor. Grunge posts Mustafa outside, sets up a table, puts Mustafa on it, and Rock flies over the top with a somersault splash. Jack and Grunge spill into the fans and brawl there as Mustafa cracks Rock with the iron. Grunge claws at Jack's cut, but Jack slaps him with a chair that he swung wildly, given all the fans around him. That's pretty dangerous. Jack and Grunge end up near the Eagle's Nest as Mustafa uses a spinning toehold on Rock in the ring. Grunge bulldogs Jack on an open chair as Rock hits a springboard moonsault at Mustafa. Jack ascends the balcony, hits a big diving splash down onto Grunge. Mustafa's still in control of Rock in the ring. Grunge shoots New Jack into the wall in the back of the arena. Mustafa breaks out a fucking figure four in the ring out of nowhere. But then he turns it by using a loaf of bread to hit Rock and then eats some. As Jack and Grunge continue to trade punches and chair shots at the crowd, eventually back to ringside. The brawling rolls on as Mustafa hits a Vader bomb on Rock through a table. Grunge slides in and covers Mustafa for two. Rock goes up top and gets knocked off and crotched. Jack covers Grunge off camera. The ref counts three, but Joey says his foot was on the rope for two. That was kind of messy. Grunge tears at Jack's cut as Rock uses a chair on Mustafa. Grunge smacks Jack's cut with a soda can. That looks like it fucking hurt. And then uses a rolling pin. Rock puts Mustafa through a table with a moonsault. Mustafa comes back with a suplex on Rock. Rock kicks Jack down to the floor, and Public Enemy hit the drive-by on Mustafa to pick up the win in their farewell match. This was fine. Usual street fight garbage match with these guys. No flow or coherence. Just a bloody series of top discs with weapons and brawling, which is fine. This is a farewell attraction. Everyone just kind of wanted to see Public Enemy do their thing one last time. It made sense to give this to the fans. And good on the gangsters to lay down for Public Enemy here. So I went 2¾ stars on this one. It was fine. So we'll get to the post-match in a moment. Jenny, what did you think of the match itself?
You know, just like you said, just what they do. A big farewell. I like the pie again. This is a hot night for pies. Mm-hmm. You know, Mustafa is funny because he's like he just does his own thing. Like, he kind of goes off in his own little world or whatever. Like, everybody else is like using weapons, and I feel like he's always the one off doing something weird and different. Just kind of like during their promos. But I like this, and say what you will about PE, I will miss them, and I got Wispy, so I gave it 3 stars. Johnny.
Two and a half. It was a little one-dimensional how Grunge and New Jack and Rocco and Mustafa, they kind of separated and married each other throughout the whole match. There wasn't really much flow. It was pretty much those two pairs stuck together. And Joey had a shot where when Rocco grabbed the pie, he's like, oh, he's warming up for WCW. like ECW, so highbrow with the pies. But yeah, the usual cookie sheets, chairs, irons, and cheese graters. And you'll get to the end, but the finish seemed kind of abrupt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think this wanted to get out of there. They did open it up a bit more than they have lately, too. Yeah. Like we've talked about,
before anybody got hurt.
Yeah. So good on them. So they stay to say farewell, and the ECW fans are the greatest in the world. They feed off their energy to do crazy stuff like diving off ledges through tables because of the fans, and everyone in the locker room feels the same as they do. They invite the fans and wrestlers out for one last house party dance, whether friend or foe, and then we get that career retrospective video from what we saw on TV. Interesting that we didn't get on the video the last house party dance with all the fans coming to the ring and everything.
Yeah,
I was kind of waiting for it.
It was kind of abrupt.
Yeah. And
maybe there was something, but that got cut out or something. It was just like, okay, and they showed a video and that was it.
It was odd.
Yeah.
I feel like they just like mishandled this whole like ending thing for PE, you know?
It's tough because you don't want to build somebody that's leaving too much, but also you don't want to shit on them because you know I guess they had a good relationship, so
right, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was, I don't know how abrupt it was. Like, they were talking about rumors of it in, like, November, you know, but I don't know when they decided they were leaving, you know what I mean? So, like, I don't know how quick this got sprung on them.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I could think they could have done is, I guess, I don't know. Like, the problem is the tag titles are tied up in the other story with Mikey and Cactus. And
right.
So you couldn't have them in, like, a tag title feud at the end. I guess the only other team you got to put over is maybe like the Eliminators to say like they're kind of the big team coming up. Mm-hmm. But I get them being about the Gangsters. I mean, that's been their big feud throughout the back end of 95.
Mm-hmm.
And they just laid down for them, so I'm fine with them winning here too. Like, I don't know. It's just, I think they just wanted them to get the fuck out of the way.
I guess so. I mean, all that comes across, right? Yeah. All that. You just get the feeling that it's just like, they're just kicking you out the door. Like, I definitely expected the ring to bust. You know, like, I thought the whole crowd would, like, get in there and, like, be a whole thing. So, I don't know. Kind of disappointing.
Yeah. I mean, maybe if they leave 4 months ago, it's different. You know what I mean? Like, I think by this point, it's just, they're just kind of done. Like, I don't know what else you could do with them at this point. Like, it was good timing just to get out of here. I just think a new year is dawning. The roster's loaded. Go get your payday. Stop killing yourselves here for no money. Literally, go get paid and be safer. And you know, it's been a great run. The fans have loved them, loved on them. And even here, they didn't completely turn on them, which was nice. You know, we get some sold out stuff, but not too much like other guys would get. So good on them. It's time. This is a fitting ending, the house party. You know, they get them their own show. They headline one last one. I'm sure they get a good payoff for it. And they can head out. All right. So they're gone. No more Public Enemy for us here on the Extreme Three-Way Dance. But why don't we get to our awards for best match of the night? I shockingly ended up with Conan and Sandman.
I went with Too Cold and Mikey.
Wow. I went with Stevie and Sabu. Three different ones.
Weird.
Good depth.
That's great. Yeah.
Worst match, I went with Bubba and the Gigolo.
Yes.
We agree on that one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, best moments, Mikey's dive, Shane's return, Beulah's announcement, and the Public Enemy farewell. So a lot of moments tonight.
The pregnancy announcement.
Yes.
Beulah.
All right, I had a lot of 90s tonight. The total elimination on Francine, our classic jersey we see a lot, the Rams Jerome Bettis jersey. Was out there. The Emmett Smith jersey.
The
Ultimate
Emmett
Fighting pay-per-view reference by Joey. Pregnancy drama, which was big at this time on TV. And New Jack's giant Raiders winter coat that he was rocking.
Yes.
Yeah, the Emmett Smith, definitely.
Yeah.
Stock rising. I had Taz, the Eliminators, Mikey, Beulah, Sandman, Sabu, and Stevie.
Yeah, you got everybody, yeah?
Yeah. Tommy.
Yeah, Tommy too. That's right.
He's a daddy, so.
All right, stock falling. I'm with Axel Rotten, the Shaw, and fucking Gigolo Jimmy Del Rey.
Del Rey.
Conan.
Stevie.
Conan. Guys are awful. All right, final grade. I'm not going to lie. I actually bumped this show up as we were talking. I originally had it at 6.5, which I had put it on par with Holiday Hell in our last episode. But then I realized, like, match quality was about the same, and we had a lot more big moments.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I weighed in enough gravity on the pregnancy stuff the first time through. So I actually bumped this all the way up to 7.5. I just think that moment is such a big, iconic ECW moment. I like the Mikey dive to Public Enemy's farewell while the match was whatever. Like, it's a, you know, end of an era for them. Sabu Stevie was a lot of fun. Taz was awesome. So, yeah, I think it's a good show. I really liked it a lot.
Yeah, I'm right there with you at 7.5. I liked the Rob Van Dam debut and Mikey's attitude in his match. So 7.5.
I'm lower on this one. 6.5.
Hmm.
Oh, and we didn't do the MVP. I got the King of Swing. I got Stevie as the MVP.
Well, are you serious?
Stock rise. We don't get MVP, but yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay.
We can create it just for you. This, it
yeah, let's do it.
The MVP penis.
All right.
Well, so, that'll be Tommy. That'll be Tommy.
Another show in the books here for us. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time with 4 weeks of TV to take us all the way through January of 1996. So we'll see what Shane Douglas has cooking and what else is going on here in the wake of Public Enemy leaving. Lots of other great stuff from the North South Connection Podcast Network coming at you each and every day. Appreciate your support. Tons of shows, whether it's this one, Wrestling War Zone, covering the Monday Night Wars, TNA Never Dies, covering early days of TNA, Ruthless the Aggressive Podcast, looking at 2002 WWE. We have comic stuff. We have bracket shows. We have sports shows. We have TV. All kinds of stuff here, dropping each and every day. So be sure to subscribe. Follow us at facebook.com/NorthSouthConnection. I'm at JT, the pod guy on Twitter. Johnny, anything you want to talk about?
Just this week in the NFL. Rolling in deep. Getting in the playoffs and all that drama.
Jenny?
Yes, I have a podcast feed. It is called The Jenny Position. I have a bunch of shows over there. The Journey Through Infinity, Geek and Sassy. You heard about Pluto. Bianca's First Time, a bunch of stuff that I do. I have wrestling shows. On the Placement Nation Wrestling feed, PTB NXT, and Jenny and the Gems are the most recent of those. You can also find me on Twitter at Jenny Position.
All right, very good. Stay extreme, everyone. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks' time.
No, no, we don't die. Yes, we multiply. Anyone test will hear the fat lady sing. Act like you know, G go. I know what Bo don't know. Touch them up and go, oh oh, cha cha ching ching. Here come the hot stepper, I'm the lyrical gangster. Murderer. Big up the crew in the area. I'm the lyrical gangster. Big up all crew bow, ya. Still love it like that. Here come the hot stepper. I'm the lyrical danger. Big up a crew in the area. Still